Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Brought to you in part by Iberia Sports and Rehab, Hike, Mindell, Grubbs, and Dalbor, Swing Insurance, Blazing Specialties, Additive Solutions, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, The Quarter Tavern, Arsenal Ford, Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, and Action Specialties. Now, here's Coach Indes.
Also, LA Classic Roofing, official roofing contractor of Bayou Sports and Grittick Electric and General Services. Well, we're back on Monday, and we're going to get right to it because we're going to talk NCAA tournament action. But before we get to the bracket, we got a young man on the line, lives down the street from me, watch this guy grow up. And Rivers, my wife told me that this was just another reason for you to be late for school this morning.
Yes, sir.
She said you walk in late with a PB&J every morning. Is that true?
That is very true.
I'm just telling you, she gave you up. She sang like a canary, but that's all right. So, Rivers, you know, you picked 29 of the first 33 games. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, first of all, what was this, an ESPN deal? What was the, you know, is it ESPN?
I think so. Or I think it's Capital One.
Capital One. Okay, that big Capital One deal.
Yeah.
Okay, now, from what I was told, at one point you were number 130 out of 20 million people. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I was 130.
Dang. Okay. So, first, Rivers, number one question. Were you just closing your eyes and pointing, or was there a method to your madness?
I mean, at one point, like, I've seen, like, many of the teams play, like, tournaments when I was, like, younger. And, like, I would know, like, what coaches, like, the coaching is really a big thing in basketball.
Uh-huh.
So, thinking about it, just, like, knowing, like, the coaches really helped. And when I was picking, I just thought, like, I just had my gut feeling, and I just feel like I've seen them before, and I'm just going to pick them. And then I just kept winning at one point. At one point, last night, if I would have had my two teams win, I would have been tied for first.
Yeah, and you're talking about Texas Tech and Rutgers, correct?
Yes, sir. It was nail biters. Unfortunately, they lost.
Well, I'm sitting there and not really caring who wins last night. And after I found out what was going on, dude, I was dying. Rutgers just fell apart.
Yeah, they did. They were just choking.
I mean, they were winning just – and of course, you know, Houston's got a good team, and sometimes the cream just rises to the top of the end. But I was dying just thinking about you and your bracket. So let's back up. Tell us about some of the crazy upsets that you picked in that first round.
I mean – just thinking about teams, just like a number really doesn't mean anything because there's always that one team that's just going to surprise everybody that's like at the lowest of the low seed and just bust everybody's bracket, which I should have picked a few of major upsets, but like I have like Loyola Chicago, an 8 seed, going to the Final Four because they were Cinderella.
And of course, they're still in. They beat Illinois like yesterday.
Yes, they did, and that just like insanely brought me down to the top 100 again. I was fluctuating because there's always a tie. There was a tie between 1-5 and 153. So at one point, I could have been number one, but I'm still ranked in the 7,000. I still have a chance if my bracket still falls through.
Did you have Oral Roberts over Ohio State?
In fact, I did not. I had Ohio State and Florida, and I mean Virginia Tech, and they both lost.
Okay, and how about Abilene Christian? There's no way you picked that one, right, over Texas?
Oh, no, I picked Texas.
Okay, all right, okay, just checking. Now, how about North Texas? Did you have them at all?
No, I did not have North Texas. I had Purdue because I thought Purdue was really good.
Goes to show you how – so those were probably the only ones that you lost in that first round, the ones that I just stated.
Yeah, and then there was a VCU and an Oregon, and VCU had to, like, forfeit because of COVID reasons,
yes.
And that just dropped me. I was at 150. No, I was at 190, and it just dropped me again because of that.
How about Syracuse?
Yeah, I have Syracuse going to
that's
the huge. State.
That's huge. Yeah, because, you know, of course, Syracuse had another big one. They're going to the Sweet 16.
They're good. They're well coached.
Yeah. I get it. You go with Jimmy Boeheim. Regardless of who they're playing, and of course they beat San Diego. They beat San Diego State last night, I believe.
I think they beat West Virginia, which was a three.
Correct.
They blew out San Diego the first round.
Yes, in the second round. Stand corrected. Now, how about UCLA? Do you still have UCLA?
I don't have UCLA. I thought BYU was going to take care of them because I thought UCLA was they had to play they had to play before they got in the tournament. I just didn't think they were going to win, to be honest with you.
So Rivers, mathematically, do you feel like you still have a shot at this thing?
I mean, I kind of fanboyed the left side of the bracket with LSU. I mean, if LSU decides to show up today and show up the rest of the tournament and make it to the Final Four, I think I can surely win first place.
Wow. Is this a monetary thing? Can you win money with this deal?
I mean, I've heard different things, like speculations. Like, if I won first place, I could possibly win $14 million. That's a lot of money.
Hey, you could just buy Swing Insurance. You could just put your dad and your Uncle Armin, Chet and Armin, you just tell them, say, hey, I'll go ahead and buy it from you.
I'm buying the family business out.
That's it. I'll come work for you. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
I'll sell for you.
I'd still go to college.
Dude, hey, Rivers, that is awesome, man. And look, I wish you the best with the rest of your bracket. This is some cool stuff. And look, hey, man, down the road, I typically don't bet, but if I'm looking to bet, I might give you a call, you know, and might say, hey, Rivers, why don't you point me in the right direction here?
I mean, I might have to. I'm just told by a lot of people to start betting. Like, at one point, I just couldn't lose a game. I was going perfect. On Saturday, I went perfect.
Good deal, man. Well, look. I don't want to hold you any longer because Miss Tina's going to be looking for you at her watch when you're coming through that front door. Because I know you seniors, y'all start your classes on the at least your class in the middle school wing in Miss Adele's class. So get that PB&J ready and get your butt to school.
All right, yes, sir.
All right, brother.
All right, peace.
That's some good stuff right there.
Oh, unbelievable. You know what I mean? How old is Rivers, 17?
I would say he's a 17 or 18. If he's had his birthday yet this year, he's 18. I think he is 18.
Okay. Anyway, the infamous Rivers swing was picking a ball game.
That's good stuff, man. I gotta throw some love at my buddy Patrick Terrio, who he gave me this info.
Uh-huh.
Pat throws a lot of stuff at me. Some of it just bounces off of me. But this one, I was like, dude, I'm all over it. I think this is a great little story for us to start following. And I'm telling you, it made me immediately more. Last night, I was dying.
Dying?
Dying when Houston was coming back on Rutgers. And like, typically, I'd root for the Southern team. Okay, I'm going to, you know, team from Houston, I'm going to root for them against the Big East. Or is Rutgers Big East or Big Ten? It's Big East.
Ten.
Big Ten.
They've been in four conferences in the last maybe 6-8 years.
Yeah. Okay, so Big Ten now. So definitely would be pulling for that mid-major. But, man, I was pulling for Rivers. And it was so close. So LSU gets it done against the Bonnies in a game that was probably closer than it should have been, but still wasn't close. Just imposed their athletic will and ability over St. Bonaventure. Now I got way even more of a reason to root for the Tigers, because if Rivers could get LSU to the Elite Eight and get Loyola to the Final Four, that's got to be huge for his bracket.
Yes.
So, and looking here, let's see.
LSU's playing Michigan tonight at 6:10. I don't know if that's Eastern time or Central time. 6:10.
And if they win, let's see. I'm locating LSU on my bracket right now. So if they win, they would play the winner of Colorado and Florida State, which is not a well. You know, I always say if you can knock off a top seed, you inherit their bracket.
Correct. That's right.
When I can remember in the early days when I was an assistant coach at Abbeville, and we played in just the most rugged 5-4-A district, with St. Martinville and Opelousas, and Northside was really good back then. And we would sneak into the playoffs at like a 26 seed, and we'd be looking at that number 7 going, ho, 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 ho. We beat Terrebonne 1 year. As a 27, yeah, playing a 6. 27 playing a 6 and knock those guys off. And all of a sudden, you inherit their bracket, and you're playing in the second round. You're playing a 10.
That's right. So
LSU's looking at that moving forward. But so the if you're looking at the way I'm looking at the bracket, so the right side of the bracket, everybody played last night. So
correct.
Those guys have already advanced to the Sweet 16. So in the Sweet 16, we've got Baylor versus Wisconsin. Baylor, of course, the number one seed, holding their own. Okay. Wisconsin, let's see.
I think they got beat.
No.
Didn't Wisconsin get beat?
Okay, I've got North. Well, you know what? I don't know why I have that, because that should be Villanova.
That's right.
That should be Villanova right there.
Correct.
Okay. I must have been seeing cross-eyed. Then we've got Arkansas at Oral Roberts. Arkansas squeaking by Texas Tech. Got away. As a matter of fact, Arkansas has squeaked by thus far. You got Loyola at Oregon State. Oregon State late last night knocks off Oklahoma State. That was probably the last game in that bracket.
Side.
Of course, West Coast. Syracuse playing Houston. And that'll be big for Rivers as well if he's got Syracuse going to the Elite Eight. It looks like, and then he'd have Loyola after that. I mean, Loyola, on paper, is the favorite over Oregon State. Oregon State's a 12, Loyola's an 8.
Yeah, on paper. Yes.
Yeah, on paper.
I'm looking at the betting lines as we speak.
So, going to the other side, you got the Zags versus Oklahoma, Creighton, Ohio. Who would have thought Ohio University's still in and Ohio State's out?
The Bobcats.
You can't. Those Buckeye fans can't be excited about that.
Boy, you're not kidding. I guarantee you.
I mean,
not.
That would be the equivalent of the Cajuns still rocking and rolling and LSU being out.
That's pretty accurate.
And probably even worse, because Ohio State basketball, let's face it, is better than LSU year in and year out.
Yeah, they've won a few national championships.
Yeah, I mean, they're more of the blue blood world in basketball than LSU.
Home of John Havlicek, Jerry Lucas.
Yeah, you know what? This is more like, if Ohio would go even further, that'd be like UL getting to a New Year's Day bowl and LSU didn't in football.
True.
I think this is more the equivalent.
Yeah.
If we're trying to compare apples to apples here. USC, Kansas, of course, Kansas, blue blood number 3. Oregon, Iowa. Michigan, LSU. Colorado, Florida State. Of course, LSU plays the winner. If LSU would knock off number 1 Michigan, play the winner of that one. UCLA, Abilene Christian, and Maryland, Bama.
And Oklahoma, Gonzaga, too.
Yes, that was the first one I said.
Okay. Right?
That's at the very top of the bracket. Yeah, so the Zags, I call them the Zags.
The Bulldogs, who knows?
Yeah, Bulldogs.
It's a Jesuit school.
Yeah, okay. All right. Excited LSU tonight. I mean, that's pretty big stuff right there.
Yeah.
Again, I just don't feel like the NCAA wants to see Will Wade anywhere close to that Final Four.
It's pretty much like that with USL 48 years ago. Too.
Now, let's go back to that. Dwight Bolamar and all those guys.
Yeah, Roy Ebron, yeah. Tre Lofton.
They lost in the semis?
No, they lost in the quarters, I guess you could say. They made the Sweet 16s but didn't get out of that.
Okay, so did not make the Final Four. I don't know in the back of my head. Now, that we're talking 1971, 2?
Oh, 2 and 3.
Okay, 72
and 3. They beat Houston in a play-in game. Not a play-in game, but back then there were only 24 teams invited.
Yes, top 24.
And then they got knocked off. They beat Houston, got knocked off by Kansas State. And then the first year they beat Marshall and then got beat by Louisville.
The human encyclopedia right here, folks.
Yeah. I was at the Kansas State UL game in Houston, the Hoffman's.
And that would have been right when you started college. Were you at 2
No,
at that point?
I'm up the road at UL and okay. And we went to that game that night, me and a couple of fraternity brothers, and just couldn't get over how bad UL played that night against Kansas State, who were much smaller, slower, the whole nine yards. And UL got late in the game, had a chance to go ahead, and they had a backcourt violation.
In the great Blackham Coliseum.
Boy, that place was rocking and rolling.
I tell you
Kerry Kilpatrick wrote an article. I wish I'd kept it. Probably can find it. About it. Going to these games is like Mardi Gras with tennis shoes on.
A good Andrew Toney game in Blackham Coliseum. And again, of course, the Cajun Dome needed to happen. But the atmosphere, I don't know if it'll ever be the same.
Oh, I agree.
Of course, when you make an arena so big to where it can host concerts, it can do all those things, you have trouble filling it. I'm not saying there won't be a day when the Cajuns don't fill it. But it's difficult. I mean, I think we're looking 13, 14,000.
Something like that.
That it takes to fill that place. That's difficult.
Yeah, Blackham was about 9,500, yeah. Something like that. So standing room.
When you put 6,000 in Blackham, it was rocking.
It was. The best.
Heck, when you put 3,000 in Blackham, it was rocking.
The best illustration I can give you. La Tech was coming to town. UL was ranked maybe fifth or sixth in the country. And La Tech had just beat Auburn a few days earlier by 35. You know, an SEC school, La Tech comes to town, and UL beats them by 20. And at the end of the game, I'll never forget, the reporters had this the next day in the paper. The UL crowd, or the UL students were yelling, small college trash, because the UL had moved into Division I, and UL had stayed into the college division back then. And I can still recall that, the UL students yelling, small college trash. And Tech had a great team that year, too. With Mike Green and Thornton and some of the other guys. I mean, they had a fine team.
Well, if we've said before, basketball, there's so many more – there's so many more variables in the game of basketball. If you got a guy who just gets hot on you, you have a star player that's not 100%. Houston last night probably helped Rutgers in their quest to beat Houston. Houston's star player had a hip injury. Although he still ended up getting it done. But it's not often. It happens. It's not often that a McNeese knocks off a Florida.
That's right.
But in basketball.
It happens a lot more. Yeah,
it happens a lot more often. And in baseball, even more often.
That's right.
Just
absolutely.
You look at variables from game to game. Football is such imposing your will. You're bigger, faster, stronger. So many moving parts.
Yeah.
So many more people on the field.
And 90% of the bigger teams like that you mentioned win the game. They have some upsets occasionally.
Yeah. The UL Monroe knocks off Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Every once in a blue moon, they did. You know, the Cajuns knock off Texas A&M.
They beat Iowa State last year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is what's so awesome about the Cajuns. From now on, they should be at least considered 50-50 in games like that. If you're a lower, and you know what? Iowa State wasn't lower. Show you how good the Cajuns were. I don't want to lessen that Cajuns win by any stretch. Don't get me wrong, for the Cajuns to go out and beat a Michigan, to beat Ohio State, something like that. But Napier has gotten that program now to where the expectation is, if you go up against an Iowa State, let's say you go up. I mean, you go up against guys like Tulsa. You go up against guys.
I agree. They have the material to compete with some of those.
You go up against
teams.
A Maryland.
Yeah.
Okay. You go up against a North Carolina State. Cajuns fans are expecting a lot now, and what's a shame. Eventually, that kind of catches up with you as a coach, because they compare you against something totally different than when they initially compared you against, and it's one of the evils of coaching, and that's honestly why coaches, other than the money, tend to say, you know what, I might as well move up when I can, because eventually they're going to be like, they don't appreciate it anymore.
I know where you're coming from.
But anyway.
But there'll be some interesting games tonight. The game I'm most interested in watching tonight in that regard is going to be Abilene Christian playing UCLA. That'll be interesting.
Absolutely. And look, Abilene, and I don't think Rivers has either of those. I think he's out of that one. So, because I'm telling you, I'm Team Rivers.
Team Rivers.
I'm Team Rivers the rest of the way. Whoever Rivers picked, that's who I'm rooting for.
The only other person I know named Rivers is River Phoenix.
I had a Rivers tattoo.
Really?
That went to school with at Catholic High. I don't think he ended up finishing at Catholic High. But yes.
Unusual name.
Yes.
I wonder where Chet pulled that one out of.
So we're going to be right back. I've got really excited to have this guy. So if you don't know the name William Weathers started out as a journalist, newspaper guy here in South Louisiana. I got to know him really well in Vermilion Parish. Now he's the assistant editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, does a lot of work with LSU. I know he's been really involved with LSU softball as of late. But we're going to get him on the line during the break and have him right back right here at Kane1240.com, 107.5 FM.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs in Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's DJ Mabrutta. Chubby Carrier back on Friday. Saturday, it's cross country. Sunday, Kip Saunier. 19 TVs has you covered for sports. No bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 5 to 8, most drinks, half price.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
If you need physical therapy, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our licensed staff is trained at the highest level to provide a customized treatment plan to give you the best results for pain-free living. Iberia Sports and Rehab has the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device, which assists the body to heal itself naturally. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia, keeping Acadiana strong and healthy. Visit isrehab.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
But when I hear that little music coming in, my little Rush take right there, man, it gets me fired up. I'm not gonna lie. That's a little Indest imprint on there. I'm a big Rush fan. I got a T-shirt the other day, Turbo. I got a Rush T-shirt.
A Rush T-shirt.
Yeah, I was wearing it around. I was sporting it, man. Big Geddy Lee fan. But pardon me while I digress. William Weathers, how we doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing real well. William, we go way back, cuz. How's everything going for you right now?
Oh, doing good. It's that time of the year where, you know, sports are overlapping, and it's busy. A lot of time on the weekends at either Alex Box or Lady Tiger Park, and LSU's, hot and heavy, which is good for us because it means we're playing.
Absolutely. Especially, and got some fans in the stands, and it looks like, we're getting over the hump there. William, let's go back just because, in the future, I hope this isn't the last time I have you on the show, because with your expertise and everything, I'd love to have you on kind of in the future, to talk about some of the things you guys are doing with Tiger Rag and with LSU Sports. So just to give our listeners a little background, let's talk about the early years, and I know these answers, but they don't. What got you started in as a journalist?
It was just kind of a by chance thing in high school where I had a friend of mine that was the outgoing sports editor, and I went to Northside High School in Lafayette, and she said, I guess you knew I had some interest. I was in sports. I wasn't very good at them, but I was in them and enjoyed them. And she says, well, would you be interested in kind of taking over? And I think it was my junior year, so it kind of, I guess things, at least, well, this was, it was interesting, something was fun, and I just continued over. I got a scholarship to UL in sports information, just like other departments and training, the trainers or the equipment staff, they have student workers. And so there was not many student workers in sports information. That staff was a real small staff with Dan McDonald at that time. And that kind of got my foot in the door, and it just exposed me to that realm of got to meet a lot of great people working in journalism.
Yeah.
So it just kind of sparked an interest there, and it did it in college. That wasn't necessarily my major, but I worked for the Vermillion, and just while I was in college, my first byline probably at doing it, making some money, was for Glenn Quibido. And it probably
who will be on tomorrow.
It may even counted probably covering a game or two you may have played in at Catholic. I can't think back that to personnel, but I just remember in somewhere between like 82 and 86 of going to like Catholic playing Vermillion Catholic and just things of that nature. Where
yeah.
I started learning how to go into to cover a game and these things called deadlines. And it began in my high school years, and then kind of just manifested itself into college, and then for real since 1987.
So, how have you? Of course, we know that your medium, especially the newspaper medium, has changed so much in this digital age. Can you talk about that a little bit? Just how, during your time, you've just seen everything morph into what it is now.
Yeah, it was. I remember I was at the Advocate full time. I moved. I've been in Baton Rouge since 1999, and we started. I wish I could recall the year. Probably just the early 2000s that we started having actually a department for online. And I was like, man, what do you? It was so new to me. Hadn't heard or had dedicated staff. It was small, but you can sense it was coming. Like, we're going to make a commitment to having a department for online. And, it was not a lot of content put up. And, it has dramatically changed. And that, I mean, now with that's how people, now you wonder how people digest their news, whether it's over their phone, over their laptops, or actually still doing the dinosaur thing, and you actually get the paper delivered in your front yard. I don't know if people still do that now, but that's how he evolved now. And I'm sure that the great percentage of people is probably delivered straight to their phone now.
It's so funny that you say that, because we get two newspapers delivered to my house, and the main reason, I won't lie to you, the main reason is for the dog. We need paper for our dog. In the middle of the night, she can't hold it anymore, and that's why we have the newspaper. But, of course, I still go to the newspaper. You do it online, and everything, instant information, man, that's just the what we're in. So explain to us now, fast forward, assistant editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, how you utilize instant information and what you're doing to spread the news of what you want to spread at Tiger Rag.
Well, Tiger Rag is, I think it's a 44-year-old publication. Before the internet, it was, something that was, and I remember when I worked at a newspaper in Abbeville, my bosses got the Tiger Rag, was in the mail, and they would get it on Tuesday or Wednesday. And again, before the internet, there were some things that were still pertinent. If you got it on Tuesday, Wednesday, you were still reading stuff that you didn't know about. And that was probably maybe more recruiting, but they took an analysis of the game that LSU just played, or they were previewing that game coming up, and it was, that doesn't, yet. But now that the publication has completely had to change its focus, because those things are old news by 11 o'clock Saturday night. I mean, the game is over with. Everybody's got stuff online, and if you're a subscriber to whatever periodical it may be, if it's in Lafayette or if it's in Baton Rouge, you got to, by Sunday, you better start coming up with new ideas and new content, and then sustaining that day by day. So that's amazing. Just again, by Saturday night, there's nothing that's exactly how your team won, lost, or how they played. And so, Tiger Rag has evolved to an extent where now, and this is my first year now, I came in right when the pandemic started, and I wasn't really sure what the over and under of my future looked like there, but I had a boss that was very aggressive. Like, there are stories out there, let's go find them, and we did. From March to September, we were scrambling, before the NCAA extended years of eligibility to seniors, those were primarily the focus, because these poor, a lot of cases, whether male or female, we're having their careers cut short, and that they may be moving on, and then thankfully, they got a year restored if they wanted to come back. So it's a really neat publication. I think we do, we do a very good job. I think when you pick it up, it's monthly, but we do have a website. So we give you a free website option. You can come check us out, but we also have a monthly subscription if you live outside of the Baton Rouge area.
So, William, of course, this is another question that I know because I follow you on Twitter and I follow everything that you're doing. But let us know what's your main focus right now during springtime. You alluded to it earlier, but maybe get a little more specific about what you're following and what your main focus is.
Yes, my boss, Ron Higgins, is taking care of with the men's basketball team, which obviously will play tonight at 6:10 against Michigan. So, but until he is completely finished basketball, I'm kind of going back and forth between baseball, softball, and then I also pick up, I'll do some stuff with, because there's actually a spring volleyball and there's actually a spring soccer season, and I'll get a little more heavier. I was doing a lot more with indoor track when now outdoor track began at UL this past weekend and LSU was there, so we're trying to do a good job. We know basketball, football, and baseball are the primary sports, but we're trying to do a much better job. And I think we have, based on the input we've gotten, feedback, is trying to focus on as many sports as we can, especially Olympic sports and female sports.
Gotcha. And we've learned that on this show. I mean, how much traction we've gotten, not just following the quote-unquote majors, but there's people out there that they're interested in all sorts of sports, of course, and that's great that you're doing that. So LSU football going into spring, just as a fan, more or less, what's your gut feeling? How you think things are looking? So different. So you go from one of the greatest, if not the greatest, football team in history, to the turmoil of last year, and now you come back, and it it seems like a lot of positive vibes.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest number you have to look at, it, and by our count, I mean, LSU's returning 19 to 22 starters. So that right there tells you there's greater stability in the roster. You've got, you know, with all the seniors on the offensive and defensive line returning, you've got tremendous stability, and that becomes a strength of yours. You can, hopefully think that you can, build around those two units, and then, you've got two brand new coordinators. And I guess that's the question is, like, you know, if guys who have never done it yet on this level, how much of a risk is that right now at this level? You feel like, because all those signs have been very positive, that they communicate very well and what they're trying to get across to the kids, you know, building the relationships, et cetera. So with 19 starters back, it gives you a pretty good, feeling. And now you're having a spring compared to last year. And with those two new coordinators coming in, that they can actually implement their schemes, have 14 practices and a spring game, and hopefully feel a lot much better about the product going forward into August.
I tell you, and this is more of a statement that maybe you could just comment on, but the one thing that affirmed my feeling at the end, so the comeback, of course, when. Of course, you had LSU's just the debacle of early in the season, and then you have that Florida and Ole Miss game where all of a sudden, oh, wow, the guys on the field at that point wanted to be on the field. I just really felt like early in the season, so much turmoil, so many just, do I want to play? Do I want to opt out? Do I want to get sick? Blah, blah, blah. But when you're looking, what was the corner's name? Is it the 14 corner? McLaughlin? What's that guy? Tony, can you help me?
I'm thinking.
Jay Ward?
No, it was another guy. It's McLaughlin, something.
Cordell Flott?
Yeah, no, it was a 14 corner. Tony's looking it up right now. And I don't, it's okay if we don't figure it out, but this guy had a great game against Ole Miss. And this was a fourth-team guy going into the season. And just
that was Jay Ward.
God,
because he had a pick or two in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, but there's another one, and I have conviction.
But McLaughlin did play better down the stretch,
yes,
no question.
Yes. Well, my deal was Ward, McLaughlin, a lot of these guys. Toward the end, the guys on the field were all in, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were all, and it goes to show you my feeling with that is that LSU, everybody that's a scholarship player at LSU, now don't get me wrong, you got some preferred walk-ons, you might be doing a favor for a coach, favor for a dad, favor for whoever. But the 85 Scholly guys, they can all play. I mean, would you agree with that?
That's what they're supposed to be there for.
Yeah, they can all play.
Dwight McLaughlin,
and
Houston, Texas, yeah. Klein Oak.
And I, you know, I'm watching these guys that at the beginning of the year had really no chance to play, or at least they probably thought they didn't, unless it was mop-up duty. And when they finally got a group of guys on that field that, you know what, I'm going to show everybody what I can do, I just felt like it was a totally different team. And would you agree that the locker room, that variable is, we use the term locker room, that's going to be huge for LSU this year, coming off of what happened last year.
It sure certainly has all the people in place that would lead you to believe that it should be much, much improved, starting from day one, and not expecting opt-out to fall down, during this season. I think this is going to, be, of course, they're nowhere near 85 scholarships right now, but that core group of guys, there's a lot of seniors who came back for a reason, and I don't think they wanted to go back to where it was. Liam Shanahan even said, I can't, they came to LSU for a reason. So I'm thinking all the number of seniors that came back sends a strong message about the locker room.
Agree. William, we're out of time, but do this. Go ahead and let us know. I follow you on Twitter. Give yourself a plug for our folks that want to follow you, follow Tiger Rag. Go ahead and give us your spiel about how we can, subscribe, do whatever we need to do.
Well, we have, like I said, we have a free website. We're www.tigerrag.com. So Tiger Rag is one word, .com. And then, on that website, we do have a portion there. There's a drop down, you know, if you would be interested in subscribing as well. And in Tiger Rag Radio, which is every Tuesday from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, there's a station in Lafayette. I don't want to give out the competitors. But so once at Saturday, excuse me, every Tuesday, still have a, and I alternate as a co-host on that. It's not my turn this Tuesday. So we have, you know, different ways to consume Tiger Rag, whether it's on our website or in print.
Gotcha. And how about your Twitter handle, if anybody wants to follow you on Twitter?
That is a good question. Let me see. I am at W-I-L-L, the letter M as in mother, and in my last name.
Got it.
Will M. Weathers.
At Will M. Weathers.
Yes.
William, again, is times progressing and maybe, you know, baseball, softball start moving on, getting closer, we can get some of your expertise. We'd love to have you back on the show.
Sounds good, Coach.
Okay, you take care, and thanks for your time.
Yep, you too.
As a young coach, I didn't want to talk about this on air because it's too self-serving, but I got to tell a story. So we were sitting there. He was on my sideline. We were playing Crowley High. Crowley High ended up losing in the state finals. This is my first year as a head coach. This was my third game as a head coach against Crowley High. Louis Cook, Crowley High. First time I faced Louis Cook. They had the Joe DiMaggio, but not Domang DiMaggio. Okay,
right.
Not the Yankee Clipper.
EAUX.
Yes. Many future college players, and William was on my sideline. And I don't know how, but we were beating Crowley. And they were over-pursuing a certain play, and I looked at William. I said, we're about to run a reverse, and we're going to score. And he kind of looked at me. I mean, I'm 29 years old, and he's looking at me like, come on, man. We ran reverse. Cody ran it. Boom, 75-yard touchdown. I remember he looked at me. He was like, you son of a gun. And I think that was the start of a great relationship with me and William Weathers.
I didn't realize he worked at the Memorial in Abbeville.
Abbeville Meridional.
Right. Now, excuse me.
Yep.
I didn't realize he'd worked there.
Yeah, just great guy. Like he said, been in Baton Rouge since 99. So we went a little over on that segment. So we're going to catch up to our sponsors that support us so well, and we try to support them, or we do support them. So we'll be right back. 367-1240 right here at Kane1240.com. Ask Alexa. Play Kane1240.com. See you in a minute.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit frankspecialtyfitnessequipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's DJ Mabrutta. Jimmy Carrier back on Friday. Saturday, it's cross country. Sunday, Kip Saunier. 19 TVs has you covered for sports. No bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 5 to 8, most drinks, half price.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We at Hike Menvel Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menvel and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menvel, Grubbs, and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes on the all-new Kane 107.5.
All right. Bayou Sports. 367-1240, if you got any questions or comments. Cajuns and LSU baseball, not a stellar weekend. Especially for LSU, because it's SEC play. Tigers come out with a three-game set, typical SEC weekend to open it up. We talked about it several times, how even though the Tigers were winning, they were winning so ugly. Looks like pitching wasn't a huge issue, but the bats didn't show up. So LSU goes 1-2, loses 2 of 3 to the Bulldogs. Throw out there, Troy Romero, my dear friend, his wife, Felicia Romero, Felicia Fields Romero, she likes to say, "How about them dogs? How about them dogs?"
Did they have many cowbells in this
Oh,
team?
She's a cowbell. She jingles that cowbell, and she's proud of it. So the Tigers lose 6-1, lose 3-0, and then come back and win 8-3 to avoid the sweep. And that's at home. That's not good. So, Maneri, I just tell you, former coach, I'm never one to just jump on the bandwagon, but I really believe that Maneri is not on a long leash at LSU. I don't know. And I really believe that his dismissiveness, he kind of has a Bill Belichick attitude with the media. Little man syndrome, is that why you, okay? And that doesn't help you in rough times. Bill Belichick gets away with being Bill Belichick because he rarely loses. And, you know, he's to a point now that if he continues to lose, he doesn't care. He's still going to go down as the greatest coach in NFL history.
Probably so. You're right.
But we'll watch LSU close. You know, keep you on top of it. They've got a game with Tulane coming up, midweek game.
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
In New Orleans.
Yep.
And they're not hitting the ball either.
So, we'll see how that goes. But the Tigers, you can't lose 2 of 3 at the box.
Mississippi State's a quality team.
Oh, there's no doubt. Used to be one of the best of all time. That's why Skip Bertman made so many derogatory comments about Starkville. Because that was when Skip Bertman came in at LSU, Mississippi State was the team to beat.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Ron Polk is probably one of the best coaches in the Southeast.
Up there in Stark, Vegas.
That's right. I've been there. Pooh.
Yeah, what one of his deals about you can't live long in Starkville because there's no atmosphere. There's a number of quotes that Chris Warner, I almost didn't remember that name, Chris Warner, who is a New Iberia product
with his brothers Friday,
John and Jeff Warner, the twins.
Yes, with them Friday.
Holy hell at Iberia Golf and Country Club. When I was the lifeguard, those two guys made my life a living hell.
I can't believe that.
Oh, I'm telling you, that was when I say BAD. Oh, my. Look, they made the Roy twins.
The Roy twins?
They made the Roy twins look like nothing.
They had an angel and a devil with the Roy twins. I'm not going to distinguish either one.
So, with that being said,
Chris Warner has a little book out, and it's SEC quotes, and it's been out for 20-something years. I have it somewhere in my house. I need to find it. I could probably pull up most of those quotes up online. But some great quotes that Skip Bertman has about Mississippi State and about Starkville, mainly about Starkville.
I've been there, believe me.
Yeah.
It's atmosphere, baseball atmosphere. If you like baseball, yeah, it's a place to be.
Yeah. But the town itself.
Oh, I'm not going there.
Okay. Cajuns, TCU, the Horned Frogs. I'd mentioned my buddy Scott Shea, who I played golf with this weekend. Talk about that in a little bit. Cajuns win 7-2.
Friday night, yeah.
But then lose 13-4 and 5-1. So now TCU's strong club.
Oh, yeah, top 20 type club.
But, of course, if Coach Deggs and his crew want to get to where they want to get, especially at home, need to play better against guys like this. Just glad they didn't get swept. Really happy they didn't get swept. Okay, I'm about to change gears. We're going to completely change gears right here.
All righty, I'm ready.
Okay. Couple of articles I read on a little sports app that caught my attention. Urban Meyer, I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of Urban Meyer, but one thing I like about Urban Meyer will speak his piece
and let you
decide where you fall. And I respect that, even if I don't always agree with what he says. Urban Meyer was, of course, you know, when he went up north, he went from being an SEC guy to an SEC hater. You know, just a very controversial guy. But again, he backs what he says. And he is currently ripping the NFL's free agency process. He's attacking it. And you know what? A guy from the outside, that's why people don't always hire from within in a business. You bring, you know, it's always good for a Halliburton maybe to hire a guy from the communications industry.
Fresh ideas.
And Urban Meyer comes in from the college football world, and he's looking at this free agency deal. And again, a lot of inbred ideas in the NFL. And he's like, what the heck is going on here? We can't meet with players. We can't get close to them. I want to get to know these guys. If I'm going to invest this type of money, why can't I meet face-to-face with this guy? I think it's stuff worth looking at.
Good points.
I can remember when the great Steve Spurrier took over for Washington. Talk about a fish out of water. In college football, you're at one point coaching up to 120 kids, 85 scholarship guys. But once school opens, you'll typically bring in August, you're going to bring in 100, and then you're going to bring 20 more once school starts.
Yeah,
relative to Title IX, you bring in your preferred walk-on guys early. You can pay for them. You can feed them, okay? But then you have to wait until school starts to be able to bring in the other guys.
Correct.
But you need multiple fields to coach college football. You can't coach on one field. I'm just telling you. It's not tough.
It's tough.
It's not an optimum situation to coach on one field. You really need three or four fields. Well, Steve Spurrier gets to Washington, and he only sees two fields, and he's like, where's all our fields? He said, Coach, we only got 54 guys out here. I mean, so I got to say, also a Florida guy, Urban Meyer, Florida guy. Urban Meyer's not originally a Florida guy. Spurrier is the ultimate Florida guy. He won the Heisman Trophy at Florida. But Steve went to the NFL really unprepared. He just thought that he was going to get there and
it's college.
Just coach off his little sheet and have better players than everybody else. And he did not do well in the NFL.
No, he didn't.
Urban Meyer's going in way more prepared. Urban Meyer, I guarantee you. You know, one thing I hated about Urban Meyer, he always seemed to have an excuse when he retired. It was health. It was this. I don't buy it. You got burnt out.
Yeah.
The challenge left you. Hey, okay, all right, I'm going to retire for a while. You know, so guys do that with money. You know, you know these guys with money, they'll sit there and they'll make money. They'll just kill it for 5 years, bank a few million, several million, 20 million, whatever they do. And then they say, you know what, I'm going to retire a few years. And then you know what, they get the itch again and they come back. There's nothing the matter with that. I always used to tell my kids in football, who's in charge of you? You! You're in charge of you. Okay? You're in charge of your happiness. Nobody else gonna make you happy. Okay? So do what you want to do. Don't come up with an excuse. Hey, I had a good run. I want to chill for a while. Made a lot of money. I want to chill for a while. I want to watch my kids play volleyball. The next one. And you know, I thought about this, but to do it early, I would love for a violin to be playing right now.
A violin. Oh, yeah, we got a crier. We need some wine with that cheese.
Yeah, I need
cheese.
I need
with that wine.
I need some wine here because I want to quote some of this. So I've got the article up. Colts Kenny Moore says stint with Patriots led to depression, calls it the longest 4 months of my life.
4 months.
So if I get, before I get into this article, you're getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. Okay? And this guy said he bumped heads with his position coach, Josh Boyer. I felt like I was in the military.
Unbelievable.
I've got tears in my eyes right now.
Oh, I can see.
It was the longest 4 months of my life. I thought I was done with football. My mental capacity and mental space, I was just maxed out. Oh, man.
Amazing.
This guy should not be signed. Amazing. I mean, come on, man. That's really when I felt like I'm probably not built for the league. I felt like I wasn't good enough. That's a bad feeling. I lost all of my joy and passion. I didn't even want to play football. I didn't want to go to work anymore. I was depressed. I was trying to fight my way out of it.
Amazing.
I just, it doesn't make sense in my brain. I mean, come on, man.
Probably made more money in a year than most people make in a lifetime.
Let me back up. This guy was an undrafted free agent.
I hear you.
So when I say living the dream, this is a guy who came out of college and was an undrafted free agent. Got picked up by the... Oh,
I hear you.
It's just... I'm sorry, man. I just...
Yeah, you'd need a big violin. Stradivarius, too.
Oh. It's just work hard, do what you got to do. I mean, you're getting paid. I don't care. If the whole team was coming out and saying the same thing, but just, I don't know. I'm not even going to.
Wow.
It makes me. I'm a little sick to my stomach. A little coffee just kind of came up in my mouth. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about golf this weekend. So we had a big tournament right down the road at LT. And maybe we'll get
Trot.
We'll get Teddy on to talk a little bit about that. If Teddy's cool with that, he's giving me the thumbs up. Did not tear up LT like they typically do. I mean, evidently LT had some teeth.
And Trot?
It's just Trot, right?
Trot.
Just Trot, 30.
Trot.
And we're at number 30. I got so many people hating on my list. And let me tell you something, Kevin Arsenault. The more you hate on my list, the more I'm going to make you mad. I'm just letting you know, dog. We'll be right back, 367-1240.
We're making it easy at Arsenault Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock. Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenault Ford.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it. From signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit frankspecialtyfitnessequipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation has been keeping Acadiana strong and healthy since 2003. We have the highest level of trained and licensed physical therapists who will customize a treatment plan to get you results. Plus, the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device. And we provide optimum care with both state-of-the-art equipment and drug-free techniques like dry needling and blood flow restriction therapy. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
All right, before we get to Trunk on my wrestling list, we're going to talk a little golf. So, of course, two big tournaments this weekend. Relative to South Louisiana, we had the Chittimacha, Louisiana Open right there at LT, La Trompe. And then we had the Honda Classic. What golf course, Teddy?
Jack Nicklaus's course.
Okay.
He's got a lot of them.
It's in Florida, correct?
Yeah, PGA National.
PGA National, okay. So let's talk about LT first. So Robert Diaz wins the tournament. So I have to say, I don't follow the Corn Ferry Tour that well, and I don't know a lot of these players real well. I don't particularly have a lot of information on Robert Diaz, but what jumped out at me is that typically on the Corn Ferry Tour, but even more typically at Le Triomphe, these guys are shooting 23, 24 under
right
in these tournaments. They normally come into these courses that aren't quite PGA, you know, jacked up, you know, on steroids, and they just tear it up. But you only had three guys in double digits, Teddy. Three guys.
I'm thinking that's because maybe Thursday and Friday it was cold and a little windy, and the scores didn't go low there. But they had some low scores yesterday. 63, some guy shot that finished third. Roberto Diaz, that's his first tour win. He's 34 years old, which is pretty remarkable. And you know how mental golf can be. We all want to try to pump ourselves up and get positive. He had a quote in a paper where he said he told his caddy that he'll never win a tournament. He's just out there to make money.
Yeah.
And then he goes and wins. So,
and of course,
34
you know,
years old.
Golf is a sport that you can make a heck of a living and not win.
Sure.
But on the Corn Ferry Tour, of course, that's not quite the same. You're not making the same kind of money.
Oh, no, not even close. You know, I mean, the winner's check was $108,000. So,
which, of course, where are we at now in the PGA? 1.5?
Oh, God, yeah. Even second and third place are making in the
oh,
millions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's incredible, you know, how much money the difference is. And he's bounced back and forth. Like I said, 14 years he's been out there. And he's bounced back and forth. He had like 123 starts on both tours and never won. But, you know, he was making money. Like you said, it's not necessary to actually win.
I'll be darned. Just like we referred to earlier, a guy making money playing a game.
He ain't whining.
No, sir.
I got a question.
Kenny Moore with the Colts. Robert Diaz ain't whining.
I got to ask you a question. Since they built Le Triomphe approximately 30, 35 years ago, have they made any, have they lengthened the course, or they changed any of the greens up or things of that nature?
They redid the greens totally.
About two years ago,
yeah,
huh?
About 2 years ago or so. And they've lengthened some holes, you know, but it's not an overly long course. It does play the par 71, whereas for the members it's 72. I think it's the 14th hole plays as a par 4 for the pros. So
is that the Gator Jaw hole?
No, that's the one right after.
That's 13.
Yeah, that's right. 13 is the Gator Jaw. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I mean, but like Brent said, the course, there's virtually no rough, especially this time of the year, and it's not a tight course. A few holes are all like Gator's Jaw, and but yeah, those guys had like three eagles yesterday. You know?
We played golf with a bunch of, I say not with, but there were a bunch of course, Le Triomphe guys at Cane Row this weekend because they couldn't play.
Sure.
And Hugh Andre smartly ran a special, you know, to get those guys in, come check out the course. And there weren't many of those LT guys that played as well. And, of course, you're not going to – your home course is huge.
Yeah,
you know where to aim.
Well,
you know how to play.
Right.
You know, but a lot of those guys from LT, they struggle at Cane Row.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, Cane Row is a more difficult course than Le Triomphe.
A lot of people say that, and I agree. But I never played LT real well, you know. So
my deal at LT, and the first thing – but, of course, my four-handicap self, of course, looks at – things far differently from a professional because you just got no clue. If you don't know, you got no clue how good these guys are. Mm-hmm. Okay, these guys on this Korn Ferry Tour, you think, oh, well, they're not the big time. Well, you have no – relative to the best golfer you know, you just got no clue how these guys, if they just came in and played from the blue tees at Cane Row, how they would shoot nothing.
They'd destroy the best player at Cane
Row. Oh, yeah, just destroy. You know, Corey Hassel, Brody LeBlanc.
It's destroying.
Those guys know. Scott Shea, I'm sorry. I'm not throwing you in there right now. You're not playing good enough golf. Okay? But those guys, they would destroy. I mean, there would be rounds in the 50s.
I believe it.
Oh,
you know, from the blue tees especially.
I don't think it would matter.
Yeah.
So.
One other thing. They had an albatross yesterday. The guy that finished third, Stephen Yeager, hit in, I think, on the 10th, not the 10th hole, the second hole, par 5.
Yes.
He hit it in two.
Really?
He had a deuce on a par 5.
Deuce on a par That's 5.
Double right. eagle.
I've never done that one. Right. Never
double
done
eagle.
That one.
I've had one eagle on a par 4, and that was number 10 at Le Triomphe.
Yeah. Well, nice. This is one better than that.
I hear
it's
you.
It's a double eagle.
That's
that's
nice.
Pretty cool.
Oh, that's
Gene Sorensen. Like Gene Sorensen. That's all I got to say. He had a double eagle.
Saracen,
to win the first Masters back in 34.
Of course, you got the bridge. You got the whole deal.
Yeah.
Matt Jones. Okay. So another one that it was the opposite, though, Teddy. So they come out in Honda. Guy shoots 61 the first day, which is typically a course that is not a double-digit course.
No.
It's typically a very, very difficult layout.
Right.
But then the weekend, all of a sudden, these guys that were shooting 61, 64, 65, I don't know if the wind started blowing. I don't know if the weather changed. I don't know if the greens hardened up or whatever. But the course changed, and then all of a sudden, it looked like the winner was going to shoot 18 under, and now all of a sudden, the winner shoots 12.
Yeah, I think. I don't know exactly what happened. I didn't get to watch it, but he cruised to a 5-shot victory at 12 under. So.
And that was the main thing that I wanted to talk about. The thing about golf, especially, it really doesn't matter, but especially when you don't have a star-studded leaderboard. And it looked like there was a few guys that took the week off this week.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have a lot of star power at this tournament. But I don't mind watching some guys that I really don't know a lot about, as long as it's close. Man, when I flip that thing on at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and I see a 5-6 shot lead, that's just not fun. It's not fun for the watcher.
It's like turning on a football game and the team's leading by 40 points.
Exactly. It great for Matt Jones. It had been 7 years.
7 years since he's won. And
Australian.
He's getting back to the Masters. He said last time he won in Houston, which was the week before the Masters. So he had one day to prepare. This time he's got couple of weeks,
yeah.
two, 3 weeks maybe. So, he'll enjoy it a little bit more.
And look, he finished strong, man. He came in, I think he might have bogeyed 15 coming in, but then all of a sudden this guy was just throwing darts and putted real well. He was just on, and when you can beat a field by five shots in the PGA,
that's impressive.
You're on.
And he's a veteran, been out there a long time, just like Roberto Diaz, you know. So he's 40 years old? You say he's 40?
I believe
so. He's 40 years old. So a bunch of old guys won this weekend.
Yeah, boy, hats off.
So we call him 40 old? Are we calling 40 old?
In golf, it's
come old. On, man. So, Teddy, one more. We got to go one extra. And, you know, again, a little self-serving here, but I got to talk about my golf game this week.
Let's talk about it.
We sitting down.
you weren't there Sunday, were you?
No.
You weren't at the meeting, so
no,
I figured
no.
you out.
Played Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Played Friday, Saturday. Just to talk about the game of golf. So I shoot 76 on Friday. I shoot 76 on Saturday. But you know what? This time of year, relative to the way I've been playing golf lately, I am not dissatisfied with those numbers at all. There could not be two more different 76s shot. So
all right, let's hear it.
Friday.
How many three putts?
Just Turbo, you're lucky you're not in striking range.
Your arm don't reach that.
I don't have Ali's reach. I don't have that 72-inch reach. Okay, so.
Friday.
Played with Jay Smith. Played with a few of the guys. I was laughing through the round because Jay, who is a way better golfer than me, the only way I'm going to ever catch Jay Smith as a golfer is when he just, his body starts falling apart on him because of age.
And that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
I practiced.
Although he's been working out. I'm telling you, he's been working out. He showed me his biceps the other day, man. He's getting jacked again because Jay had gotten in good shape. It's his hunting season that gets him. Okay? He liked to eat. He shoot it, then he eat it. And there's those sides. But anyway, so we're laughing because I hit 13 greens that day when I shot that 76. Jay hit 7 greens. But when we were like on 16, I'm looking at him. I'm like, he's beating me because he gets up and down from everywhere. He makes putts. When he gets over putt, he expects to make it. I don't. And he ends up clipping me by a shot. Okay, so again, I hit 13 greens, get nothing out of the round. Okay, but so I go into Saturday. I wake up Saturday morning after that great ball striking day. And I'm like, I'm about to light this place up. I'm feeling great. I hit some balls. It looked like you had something on your mind.
No, I'm just listening.
All right. Boy, I get out there on one, and I knock it tight, get up on two. Number three, I'm one under after the second hole. I miss a birdie, putt on one, make it on two, get up on three. Three has been in my head, par three. Wind blowing from the left, I hate it, and I chunk one in the water. And I proceed to fall apart like a cheap suit.
Alex Mahfouz.
I mean, I'm saying, oh, like a leisure suit from Walmart, man. I'm just busting at the seams. I started messing with my swing. I started doing a few things. I go into 13 and I'm 8 over. Oh, no, I'm telling you, it got bad. I went, you know, after number two, I'm ready to shoot, you know, beat my best round out there, which is 68. I'm ready to go out there and just tear it up. I am 8 over after number 12. 13 hit a decent drive, knock it up 3.5 feet, and I missed the putt. So I'm still 8 over after 13. But I was watching. I'm playing with Brody LeBlanc, who is arguably the best player not only in our game, but one of the best players in Iberia Parish, if not the best. Okay, Reles LeBlanc's grandson, who is a mainstay at Spanish Trails, Tri-Parish, young man from Delcom who can just – golf his ball. He's not a big guy, but he just hits it a mile. Well, I watched him hit a putt, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just taking it too far back, which makes you decel.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking your putter too far back, it causes a decel. And lately, all I've been worrying about is just staying on plane, following that line. Teddy, when I was a kid, I'd watch him. He'd go out on a putting green. He'd drop a chalk line.
Yeah, I love to do that.
Drop a chalk line, sit there, and make sure. Well, my problem, it wasn't the line. It's the fact that I'm decelling because I'm taking it too far back. So I just start messing with that. Literally on number 14 tee box. I got my putter in my hand, and I'm like, all right, Brent, you got to fix something.
Yeah.
Good drive. Knock it up about 18 feet. Make the putt. Knock it up about 25 feet. Not good on the next hole. Miss the putt. 16, little off the green, 20 feet, knock it in. 17, knock it 4 feet, knock it in. 18, knock it 8 feet, knock it in. So I birdied four of the last five to shoot 76. The same score.
Totally different.
I mean,
totally different rounds.
Yeah, totally different rounds, shoot 76 either way. But it's just a crazy game. And, you know,
and that's it right there. It's a crazy game, man. And, you know, I scratch my head when I see a pro shoot a score like 63 and then come back with a 77 or something. It just, it blows my mind. But that's golf.
Oh, that's golf.
And that's...
The second you got it, you think you got it figured out. It's funny. I've watched the, it was a special on the Golf Channel or something. That there was a rumor at one time that Ben Hogan had golf figured out. That, like, he had found a secret. Like
Life Magazine wrote a whole article.
Yes. That he had... literally found the secret to golf, that if you knew his secret, that you could, I mean, what a bunch of BS.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Marketing at its best.
Yes.
They sold a lot of Life magazines that year, 1955.
You know, the closest thing now to that, I would think, is DeChambeau. Because DeChambeau's, mm-hmm. he's turned golf into math. Yeah. Everything with him is a math equation. He's a physics major.
Right. Sure.
And his approach to golf is totally the opposite of what the way I approach golf. I'm a field guy. But, again, who am I to question anything relative to, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Jay and I were practicing yesterday late in the afternoon, and he told me that DeChambeau 2 weeks ago in the TPC, you know, the 18th hole with
yes.
his water all the way down.
Arguably the most difficult finishing hole in golf.
In golf. He wanted to drive the green, but the PGA put up a white post said if your ball flies left of this post, it's out of bounds.
Yeah.
No matter where it ends up. Did you hear anything?
Yes. Oh,
I
yeah.
I can't believe that. It's totally
really?
Against the rules.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? Yeah.
And I was wondering, was he going to go over the water?
No, he was going to.
Was he going to bring, like, patrons into play? I mean, that's what I was wondering. Was it a safety issue?
The water goes from.
Because it's a sharp dog leg left.
Yeah.
And it runs the length.
The tee box the whole way.
Yes.
From the tee box to
it's similar to Pebble Beach's 18 finishing hole, except way harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Way harder.
So, I mean, like, if you hit over the Pacific Ocean, your ball lands in the face.
Yeah, you just cut it in there. You just cut it in there or cut the corner. No, they definitely. No, it was very, very interesting.
I'm going to have to. Look up.
That's
that.
Unusual.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
I didn't.
It makes me think you remember the Hinkle tree?
Oh, yeah.
The Hinkle tree.
Lon Hinkle. Gosh, dog it. Yeah, they literally put up a tree because he was cutting. Overnight, he was cutting across an opposite fairway, which was making it difficult because you had players walking down the opposite fairway, and it was a safety issue.
Yeah. Yeah,
so they bring in a fully grown X tree, elm tree, spruce, I don't know what the heck it was. They bring in a fully grown tree and said, you know what, you ain't doing it tomorrow.
That's the first thing I thought of when Jay was telling me this story.
Yeah, the Hinkle tree.
Yeah. First thing I thought of, but I
or the opposite, going. You got the Eisenhower
tree. Yeah, the Eisenhower tree in Augusta.
On 17 at Augusta.
That's right.
Which did he have him cut it down?
No, it was cut down Beatles a few years ago,
okay,
but Eisenhower used to always hit it.
He would drive it into the tree, and he tried to get him to cut
it
down.
But
it goes to show you the president, a former president of the United States, he got no stroke at Augusta National.
That's right. And they did cut it down a few years later.
Yeah,
a few years ago.
Lightning had struck it.
Yeah, a few years ago they cut it down, though. That's correct.
Okay, number 30.
Throne.
All right, I'm dismissed, right?
You're dismissed.
Thank you.
Eddie, you're dismissed. You know you're always welcome.
Yeah, don't worry.
I know you don't bring much to the table when it comes
when
to Mid-South
wrestling.
We got to cut his mic off. Don't worry.
This gentleman died way too young. Born 1960, died 2009. Now, I will say, this guy slightly goes against my rules. Again, I have amended this list.
You have.
Well, no.
Not originally.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I've amended how I rated these guys. This isn't my best wrestlers of all time. This is most memorable to me.
Okay.
Okay.
I think you've mentioned that, though.
It's most memorable. This guy did come a little late, but one of my roommates in college, I had a bunch of them, this was his nickname. And he was nicknamed by a huge wrestling fan, a fellow fraternity brother of ours, Steve Kirsch. My buddy's name, and he, I know he's not listening right now. He lives in California, but I'm going to get him to listen later. I'm going to text him because his name was Steve Heyman. But Steve Kirsch nicknamed him Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Dr.
Death Steve Williams. Now, Steve Williams, born in 1960, was an all-Big Eight guard for the University of Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Now, this guy could play. Three-time world heavyweight champion. Famously teamed up with Ted DiBiase and Eddie Gilbert. Most memorable for me, there's a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Garvin, who's way up on my list. The master of the sleeper hold. He teamed up with Jimmy Garvin. Now, late in his career, he turned heel. That was kind of after my interest. As my interest waned in college, ended up teaming up with Kevin Sullivan and had a big feud with the Road Warriors. Kevin Sullivan's actually a guy I forgot about until I read last night. Kevin Sullivan was a jackass. I hated that. That dude was just nasty, man. This guy, I hated that guy.
A Democrat?
That guy was just, a man. We talking donkeys and elephants now?
A Democrat?
Come on, man. But had huge feud late, but so Steve Heyman giving you, now this is what makes Steve Heyman's nickname so awesome. It's like calling a big heavy guy tiny.
Yeah, right.
Okay? Or slim.
Yeah.
But there's more to the story. So Steve Heyman, Dr. Death Steve Heyman, came from Jesuit High School in New Orleans.
Really?
Oh, yeah. His dad was actually one of the founders of Lambda Chi Fraternity at USL.
Okay.
And Steve was not an athlete. He wasn't athletic at all. He was big into computers. Super guy. Have fun with this guy. You drink a few sodas with this guy, you have some fun. Okay? I mean, he was just a great guy. Later in life, living out in I think he moved from California. I think he's on the East Coast now in Virginia. Yeah, he's near D.C.
All right.
Yeah, because we had a little get-together, a little Zoom.
Oh, wow.
Reunion the other night, about a month ago. But he's a big CrossFit guy now. So goes for Mr. Computer Guy. I mean, never if Steve played like intramural ball with our guys, he always played with the Hackers team. We called him the Hackers, whether it was basketball, whether it's volleyball, whether it's football. He played with the Hackers. Okay? But now shows you can teach an old dog new tricks. He's around my age, 54 years old, and this guy, he's jacked up, he's in shape, he competes with this CrossFit stuff. So this is more of a tribute to my buddy Steve Heyman, aka Dr. Death Steve Heyman. Buddy Steve Kirsch, who named him. Steve gave everybody a nickname. You know this guy, you got that buddy that gives everybody a nickname.
Yeah, like Flounder and
yeah, absolutely. My brother's going to kill us. Hey, you messed up. You trusted us.
Yeah, that's right.
We need the dues. Yeah. We need the dues.
Oh, well.
All right. Tomorrow, we got great stuff coming up this week. I normally don't like to give stuff too far in advance, but I'm going to do it. Well, tomorrow we've got Glenn Quibido. Glenn Quibido, just a huge part of the history of sports in New Iberia, especially in the late 70s, early 80s through the mid 80s. Probably pushed sports. It was when print media was at its highest,
probably
finest.
So. Yep.
Made golf huge here during that time. But also, he was responsible for the cover, that Leroy Etienne cover that I talked about and showed everybody on my Facebook page. Later on in the week, Wednesday, we've got Jeremy Bonin, NISH graduate, basketball player, who is now assistant coach at Southern, doing very well. And a guy that I'm ecstatic to be bringing on, Brian Brown.
Brian Brown. Hi, Jeremy.
Brian Brown. Former Biddy teammate of mine, 7'5" high jumper.
He get up there.
If it wasn't for Hollis Conway, probably would have been an Olympian. At that time, we had Neil Guidry from Kaplan, Hollis Conway from Shreveport, and Brian Brown from New Iberia, all guys jumping over 7.5. Brian has gone on to do very well. I want to thank Shannon Pecco for getting me his number. Good friend of Virg Osberry's, just you know, ran in that crew. And graduate, I want to say a 1985 graduate of NISH. But so excited to have him on. Moving down the week on Friday, going to have Dr. Seth Rosenzweig, along with Chad Arsenault, talk sports medicine, orthopedics, take on everything that's going on today and the new things that are going on and taking care of the kids of Iberia Parish. So fired up about all those things. Great day today. Enjoyed talking with you, Turbo. We'll be at number 20. We're breaking the 30 threshold.
Man, enough.
I'm peeking. I'm not even sure who I have at 29. I'm peeking at my notes right here. Oh, it's a bad guy. A guy that I love to hate. A guy that I love to hate coming up. Then after that, we're going to be really getting up into some guys that help mold me into the guy I am.
Mold you? Hope it wasn't putty. But, you know, Coach, we also have the 8 remaining games on tonight.
Absolutely. So we'll definitely be talking NCAA tournament until the finish of it. Exciting stuff. As the women start pushing further into the Elite Eight and Final Four, we'll get into that a little bit as well. A lot of great stuff going on. We're going to start talking a little spring ball with LSU and UL when we start getting a little more information with that. So for my man Turbo, Teddy Sliman, who joined us today, we got Jeff Boggs coming on, playing some good tunes, talking a little news, a little weather, and we will see you tomorrow morning right here on 107.5 FM.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tesh.